Parsha Mishpatim, which is the parsha that comes after Parshas Yisro, deals with many different laws ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and one's fellow man. In fact, as Marosh Sirim points out, on the pasuk va'oz melech mishpat ahev atakol nanta meisharim mishpat ustaka beYaakov atasita, pasuk in Tehillim Sadik Tet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Medrash says that although Hashem has oz v'gvura b'yado, even though he has strength in his hand, he specifically loves midat ha-mishpat. He specifically loves mishpat u'tzedaka b'Yaakov atasita. He loves when we do acts of kindness. And hence, after this great Maamad Har Sinai, after this great revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving us the Torah, immediately we enter into the mishpatim, the laws, particularly ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and one's fellow man, laws which throughout the entire Parshat Mishpatim are laws of super sensitivity on how we need to treat all Jews, all people, no matter, even if they sinned, even if they stole, whatever they've done, this tremendous sensitivity. I'd like to focus in on one group of psukim, one halacha, in this rubric of sensitivity. And I'll begin with a disclaimer that obviously what we're going to be speaking about today comes with a tremendous amount of, one needs to be sensitive about such a topic because it can be, for some people, very emotionally charged. And I'm well aware of that, and we're going to try to proceed with as much sensitivity as possible to not only talk about it, but live it. And that's supposed to be the following. In Parakuf Beis, we have one who brings offerings to the God shall be destroyed, only to Hashem alone. You shall not taunt or oppress a stranger, for you are a stranger in the land of Egypt. And then the Chumash in Parakuf Beis, Pasuk Gav Aleph, says the following. This will be our group of Pesukim Yirtzeh Hashem for today. You shall not cause pain to any widow or orphan. If you dare to cause him pain, for if he shall cry out to me, I will surely hear his outcry. My wrath shall blaze, and I shall kill you by the sword, and your wives will be widows, and your children orphans. And as the Arskot Stone Chumash in Source 2, quoting Rashi, notes, if you dare to cause him pain, Rashi explains that the verse does not say explicitly what will happen to the person who does so. Rather, the Torah implies by this explanation that anyone who dares cause a widow or orphan to suffer should expect severe retaliation from the father of orphans and judges of widows. Now, I'd like to raise two specific questions within these group of psukim. Try to answer them on two distinct levels, obviously with a mindset of what we can gain for our lives, and then to be able at the end to flip this whole thing around and be able to see it from a totally different perspective, which is the beauty of learning. Question number one is a question that Atraga asked. He says, when you take a look at this pasuk, he says, the response of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if someone should hurt a yosom or almana, an orphan or a widow, is v'chara api, charon af, the anger of Hashem. And he says, v'are lo matzinu onish chamur kazeh, where else do you see such a severe response from Hashem? It's by worshipping idols. We say it in the Shema every day, if you go astray and you worship other gods, and you bow down to them, Hashem will get angry at you, right? And all the punishments that ensue. So there we understand, you worship Avodah Zarah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, you get punished. Why do we have mamish the same punishment or the same reaction, so to speak, of v'chara'av, the anger of Hashem being kindled in this particular case, which you don't really see in many other places? And he brings down the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim deals with this. It's a question that has to be dealt with. The second question is a question that Bina Vabracha, Rav Saratskin, source number 6, asks. So if we take a look at the Hebrews in source 5, im kolo navi yasol lo tanun, im ano ta'anet, double language, if you will oppress them, ki im sa'ok yitzak elai, double expression. And if they scream out to me, Sa'okitsa, Shamoa Ashma Etzakato, I will surely respond to their screaming. Ask the Bina Vabracha of the Yesh Lavin Kefel Halosho. Why do we have so many phrases repeated? If you will surely afflict, and if they will scream out, double language, and if, and I will surely listen, double language. One pasuk, three times a double language, that's highly unusual. Obviously, Darshani, we have to learn something from this double language. The Bina Vabracha brings down here, the Sforno was very interesting. He says, if you afflict them for the sake of affliction, but if you afflict them to teach them, that is not what's included here. But still the question needs to be asked, why the double language? And obviously the larger question here of what messages are here for us to take away for our lives. So let's take a look on the first level, my friends. What is an almana, a widow, and a yasam all about? So Rav Hirsch, who's very into linguistic, points out, almana derives from elame, to be dumb. Yasam derives from yatam, which is phonetically related to gadam, the rabbinic term for a person who's lost an arm, and to katam, to cut off the tips of tree shoots. By the death of her husband, the widow has lost her voice. She no longer has someone to speak for her. By the death of his father, the orphan remains powerless. He no longer has someone to depend on, someone to guide him. And that's why lo ta'anun, to make someone feel his oni, his dependent position, to exploit his weakness and lack of protection. And this is where we have to be aware that a yasom, an almana, is somebody who's cut off, who's silent, and therefore they're much more easily affected by things that are said to them, are done to them, and therefore we have to be much more sensitive in how we deal with them. Rabbi Pliskin in Love Your Neighbor brings down some of the basic laws including this prohibition. Let's mention them in Source 8. The prohibition against, will come from the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Afflicting an orphan or widow applies even if they are wealthy. It doesn't matter if they're only poor and they're crying out because someone's afflicting them. Could be a wealthy person as well. You must always treat orphans and widows with honor and must speak to them pleasantly. You must not afflict their bodies with hard work, nor their hearts with harsh words. Whoever vexes an orphan or widow with words, angers them, pains them, tyrannizes them, accords with them a loss of money, violates this prohibition. Someone who hits them or curses them commits an even more serious violation. You must be more careful with the money of a widow or orphan than with your own money. The Creator has made a covenant that whenever widows or orphans cry out as a result of being wronged, their cries will be heard and avenged. And the final two on the next page. A teacher is permitted to chastise an orphan in order to teach him Torah, a trait, or proper behavior. Nevertheless, he should be especially compassionate toward him and treat him with honor. And this is very important for teachers. And you should be aware before the start of the year, and unfortunately it's becoming more and more common, who indeed is an orphan in your class, lost a father or a mother. And that's what we see right here. An orphan is defined as someone who's lost either a father or mother. How long is he considered an orphan until he is sufficiently independent not to need the care of an older person? You have to be very aware that you can't afflict such a person. And that's why people who are dealing with other people, whether it's in, you know, children in a camp or in a school setting or whatever it may be, there has to be a real sensitivity that, yes, you have to treat them like all other students and be able to discipline them when necessary, but it has to be done with a softness, with a sensitivity that we're dealing with an orphan, and that's a practical halacha that people may encounter in their life, as well as working with a widow. You may encounter that in an office situation, that you have to be a little bit more sensitive, a lot more sensitive to these people and treat them totally differently than you would treat someone else. And as the Sefer Ish L'Reyehu, which deals with the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro within the Parshios, so Rabbi Kreisner points out in Source 10 in the Arrow, the Sefer Chinuch writes, "Shenimnanu ma'chbi b'maseo afilu b'dibur al yisomim v'almanos." We have to be careful in the way we treat them physically, in the way we speak to them. "Asher kol maseo matano shel adami mahem yebenachat ubechesed ubechemla." Our interactions with them should be with softness, with kindness, with chemla, with mercy. Mishoshei HaMitzvah, why? The root of the mitzvah. Lefisha Elohim Teshushei Koach. These are people who by definition are weaker. She'en lahem mishit ontan otan b'chol nefesh. There's no one really standing up for them in the same way. K'mo shayau se'ish ha'almana v'avihem shayisomim mimayakam yam, which would be different if someone was around. V'alkein, therefore the Torah has taken us liknot midas chesed v'rachamim b'nafshenu, and this law enables us to be able to work on feeling the chesed, the rachamim, working on being able to be more compassionate within our souls, v'nachus v'nachmol aleihem, and we should be able to have mercy on them, v'neres chutam b'chol davar yoter m'shayinu osim mimaya ava bal kayam, even more so than if their father or spouse were around. And that's why we find in the pasuk that Hashem is called Avi Yisomim. It's not God, the father of all of us, yes, but Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a special interest in these people. You know, it reminds me, dedicated last week's shiur to my sister-in-law. So she left Kenainara, a young family, and the youngest being a little girl. And I remember last year being by the bar mitzvah of the oldest one, and so the girl, I don't know, was 5, 6 years old, and somebody was starting up with her, and, you know, another kid. And she started crying, and she came upstairs, she was in the basement of a certain house, and she had no one to turn to. Like, she wanted to go to tell somebody I was hurt. Somebody hurt me. You know, my brother wasn't around, and she was lost. Like, who's going to, and she's crying, like, who's going to hear my cry? That is such a model, right? As I said, it's a very, very sensitive topic that we're dealing with today. I'm well aware, my friends. But here's this little girl who just wants somebody to say, it will be okay. Tell the person who hurt her or took her toy or game, whatever the story was. You know, it's not so nice. You have to learn how to share. Just somebody to stand up for her rights. That's what these Yisomi need. That's what these orphans need. And that is the sensitivity that we need to be able to inculcate within ourselves, this compassion and this feeling of tremendous love. The Ramban in Chumash, in Source 11, Rav Reis quotes, he says, this is really, Kol Amanav Yasom Lo Ta'anun, it's really the continuation of the previous pasuk about not harming a ger, a convert. And all of them have the same thing in common, that there is nobody, Litvo et El Bonam, who's going to stand up for their rights. And as Ramban says in the asterisk in 11, Shekol Elei Nam Botchim B'Nafsham V'Ala Yiftachu. They're not relying on themselves, they're relying completely on Hashem. And as Rabbi B'Chaya echoes this, and he says, V'Lekach Lo Yiftachu B'Adam Kim B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem is Melech Ozer Mashiach Magen. And Hashem is the one who's going to stand up for the plight of these people and take up their cause. It's interesting, the double lashon, according to the Medrash in Source 12, is the following. The Medrash says, and this is the arrow in 12, Echad inui merubav, echad inui muat. Even an inui muat, you are ofer. Right? Ano taneh, why the double lashon? You may think you have to do something major to a yasom. No. Right? Taking away a toy, again, depending on the age, obviously, that's inui, right? So you say, what's the big deal? So she'll play with another toy. Inui, ano tane, any type of inui. Echad inui meruba ve'echad inui muat is considered an inui. The Rav Sorotzkin, who had raised this question about the double lashon, he says the following. He says, when a yosom or a mana, an orphan or a widow, is hurt, right? You say something to them, you do something to them. It's yeshol tsar kaful. They have double anguish. Mishum shemuvat sheyeshol tsar pashut bezeh shemetzaro. Obviously, one anguish is, well, this whatever it was that happened, right? The person hurt them, the person said something to them, the toy was taken away from them. Od maskiro ayidev saro shu yasom v'almana. But that affliction raises another inui. Now the girl realizes I have no one to turn to. That's another inui. My mother's not here for me to run to be, you know, soothed and feeling comfortable. That is the second inquiry. A note on that. Why double lashon? Because you just think you did X. But because of X, now not only do they feel bad that X happened to them, but it reminds them of their situation, of where they're at. And therefore, it's a double lashon of tzaka. They're not only crying out for what was done to them, they're crying out to Hashem for the fact that they are a yasam and a mano, that they don't have a parent, that they don't have a spouse. It reignites this original feeling. And that's why we have to be so careful with the yasam and amana, because it's not just about any other person who we afflict and they feel bad. Oh, okay, we insulted them, we spoke to them harshly, we criticized them for what they've done. That's a problem in its own right. But here, it just brings to the fore all of their torment, all of their struggle, and that is why they who are so sensitive, we need to have a super sensitivity with them, and treat them with really, really with kid gloves. That's what the Chumash is teaching us. And you know, you find so many examples. You know, most of the Svarim here, again, when you're talking about a topic, Benatul Chaveira, which is very different than we've been doing till now, a lot of Benatul Lamako, between man and God. So the Svarim that one uses, which are very much Musar Svarim, most of them on this section just have story after story after story. Sometimes stories say much more than anything else. So just to share one or two. Rabbi Shmuel Salanter was asked at a certain matzah factory, tell us all the chumras that you need to make sure that the matzahs, you know, are baked, hand-baked, with the most hidurim. And he said, all you need to know is don't yell at the women who are making the matzahs, because usually they're almanos. Well, so often they're widows, and you have to be very careful that under your pressure of time, that you don't afflict them. Quicker, quicker, why are you going so slow? So they say, that's all you're telling us about the matzah? Don't you want this hinder, and don't you want that, you know, stringency? He says, all those stringencies are midrabbanan, are from the rabbis. The stringency of being nice to an almana, to a widow, and not to afflict and harm her, that's midaraisa, so that's from the Torah. That's what you have to be concerned about. And that's what Yiddishkeit is about. You know, yes, there are these stringencies, and obviously we have to be as careful as possible, but it can't be at the expense of the human being. It can't be at the expense of somebody's honor. They also tell a story of a certain Rav who used to get up every morning very early, and that was his Seder Yomi, to go to shul, to learn, to daven. Every morning he would wake up really at the crack of dawn, even before. And suddenly he changed the order of his day. And people asked him, is everything okay? You feeling well? He said, yes. He said, my wife took on, as the new person in the house, a widow. And I'm afraid that if I get up early, she's going to feel like she has to lock the house after I leave, which will make her get up early. I can't get up at the crack of dawn to go learn at her expense. I have to get up at an hour that's reasonable to expect her to get up. That's sensitivity. Yes, it's important to learn. Perhaps he learned at home. Who knows what he did, you know, when he left. That's not our concern. Obviously, he utilized his time well. But the sensitivity of not going out to shul, which you normally do because the ozeret, the maid's going to wake up and have to turn off the, lock the door, that's a sensitivity of greatness. And that's what we have to understand. And with this, we can appreciate why the punishment is so great. The Datraga points out, Achein Kachein, source 14, Pnei Advarim Rav Grosbard, Ha'onesh Shel Charon Av, Hu Onesh Al Mirida B'Malchut Shamayim. Anger, the response of anger, is when a person rebels against heaven. Ha'oved Avodah Zarah Hu Morah B'Malchut Shamayim Hu Avi Al Smo Charon Av. So someone who worships idol worshipping, who denies God, is bringing upon themselves this mita of Charon Av. Kach Gam Mi Shema'aneh Yatom V'Almana. Likewise, someone who afflicts a yasam and amana, harehu domeh l'misha pogeya kivyachu b'malchut shamayim. On some level, it says, if you're being pogeya, you're affecting malchut shamayim, for one of two reasons. One, with the Datshraga brings down, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mityaches kivyachu to the amana and the yasam kivnei hamelech. As the Pasuk tells us, of the samach tifnei Hashem Elokecha, you should rejoice in front of Hashem, you, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, the Levi that's in your midst, the Ger, the Yaslam, and Almana. And the Medrash says, four are mine and four are yours. If you make yours happy, if you make my happy, I will make yours happy. And who's our Hashem? Hashem is the Ger, the Yosom, the Almana. Hashem is the one who takes care of these people. When one afflicts Lo Aleinu, a Yosom and Armana, it's as if you're afflicting the Bnei HaMelech. It's not like you're, you know, afflicting somebody, you know, off in the town somewhere thousands of miles away. It's someone who's living in the Armona Shamelech, in the palace of the king. And therefore, it's as if you are offending the king himself. And therefore, the punishment is so severe. The second aspect is what is alluded to in source number 10, the Ish L'Re'ehu, who says, the end of 10. One who is man, one who flicks a yosom or almana, it's as if you're kofar b'ikar, it's if you deny Hashem. Why? Shekei b'masav hamachbirim mar'eh ki'ilu chasa shalom en liyosom av v'shamayim l'rivet rivo. If you have the audacity to start up with a yosom, it's as if in your mind you don't think that God is there in heaven who's taking care of this yosom, who's taking care of this orphan. And that's kofar b'ikar, you're denying God. So you see here, and this is what I wanted to get at as the first part of the shir today, that the strictness that the Torah has toward the way we relate to a yosom and almana is very, very, very strict and very clear. That we have to work, and this is halacha ad hayom hazeh, my friend, we have to be sensitive to their feelings, to their money, whether they're rich or they're poor, it doesn't matter who they are. They are more vulnerable as individuals. They're more easily, much more sensitive as people, and we need to be super sensitive to their sensitivity. They've suffered a loss, they've suffered a trauma, they feel more vulnerable, they feel like they're all alone, and they have no one else to call out to but Hashem. And Hashem is going to personally, he's Avi Yisomi V'dayan Amanos, he's going to personally take up their cause. And therefore, if you're going to start up with them, you're really, kivyachu, starting up with Hashem. And that's why the punishment is so much more severe than other things that one may do in life. And I think the lesson on the first level is very clear, very obvious, and again, very pertinent. Be aware of who you're dealing with. If they're a yosom, if they're an almana, then we have to just treat them with a lot more sensitivity and a lot more awareness that they shouldn't feel like they are... that they are being afflicted. That's level one of this year. The second level takes us in a much more broader type of way. Says Rashi, quoting Chazal, source 16, Kol amanav yason lo ta'anun, hu hadin lechol adam. This same law applies to persecuting any person. Ela shediber katuv behofeh, but the scripture speaks of that which is prevalent, Lufi Shehem Tishushe Kalach, because the Yosom and Amana are weak, the Davar Matsui Lanotam, and persecuting them is a common thing. But really, this Pasuk is all inclusive of persecuting anybody. I will mention that the Saperstein edition brings down in the footnote in 17 that halachically speaking, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says that the prohibition applies only to widows and orphans, and that's how we paskin. So even though we may not be dealing here with halacha l'maisa, of, you know, what exactly, halachically, you know, in the Taryag mitzvos, is this pasuk a reference to, clearly, though, based on v'haftarecha kamocha, based on, you know, basic derech eretz, this pasuk is all-inclusive, and that's what I want to look at our pasuk of the musar, that we can learn, that don't talk about affliction in a very narrow sense, a very absolute sense of a yosom and almana, but look at it in a much broader sense. Here, the idea of not afflicting any human being, the idea of sensitivity toward people, and my friends, in my mind, I almost like was drawn to this shir. You know, people have asked me, how do you choose a topic for a parsha shir? And that's a very good question. And the basic answer I give them, it's all siyata d'shmaya. it's, you know, it's very often the people listening need to hear a certain thing, and therefore I am drawn, unbeknownst to me, to that particular topic. But here, I was very much drawn to this pasuk because I really believe dealing with people, dealing with, you know, basic interactions in an everyday world, I believe that this is like one of the most important fundamental halachas or aspects of Jewish thinking that we can come across. And I feel like if it's in our parsha, we can't ignore it. The Mefarshim, the contemporary Sfarim, which is what I mainly focus in on, which is a separate question, why, all bring down, or almost all bring down, the following dialogue between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shmuel. They were part of the Asara Harugei Malchus, the 10 martyrs, and as they're being led out to suffer martyrdom, they have the following conversation. The place where I found it in English was Rav Hirsch, so we'll quote it from there in 18. Rabbi Shimon said to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Lebi Yotze, Master, my heart fails me. Sheni Yodea Amani Nerag, for I do not know what I could have done to deserve death. And my gosh, that question in itself, whoa. Rabbi Shmuel said to him, Miyamecha ba adam etzlecha ladin o lashela vakvato ad shetei shoteh kosecha v'noel sandlecha o otef talitecha amrat hara imanol taneh echari nui miruba v'echari nui muat. Has it never occurred that someone came to you for a judgment or with a question and you kept him waiting until you finished your drink or changed your shoes or put on your cloak? The Torah says any kind of oni, whether severe or light, is forbidden. Amar lo nechamtani Rebbe, you have comforted my master, answered Rabbi Shimon. Now, on this, the Sforim have a tremendous amount to say. Let's start with the Or Daniel, Rav Daniel Ochiyan, in 19. If you, harei lefaneinu perek limud miyuchad, second paragraph, hamelamdenu, ad heichan magad chovat hazirut shesnisavinu ba becholak geshur le'inui. Here we have a real deep sense of what inui, what affliction is all about. Hagabatzvacha. V'chima bekachim yamtim ha-shoel shniyot zvurot. Ad shadayan yigmor lin ol san lo o yashlim iti tuf talitav. Give me a break. You know, how long does it take to tie your sandal? This is inui? Halazeh inui yikare? I normally, we wouldn't think that's such a problem. You're going to call that affliction? So you make a person wait. But the Torah's expectation of the way we treat people is very different than our societal norms. They took Kadosh Elyon, and the great people like Rabbi Shimon and Yishmael, Gamreach Shel Inui Miat, Hino Chamor B'Tachli. People on this level, even if it smells like even small amount of Inui, that's already Chamor B'Tachli. And here we see how careful we have to be. And on this, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz writes in Sichos Musar, a very famous piece in 19, in the asterisk, Ki chomer hadin hanogea laveiro shaben adam lechaveiro eino onash greda. It's a very famous piece, we've done it before, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that when we're dealing with ben adam lechaveiro, when we're dealing with man between sin, between man and one fellow man, we're not really talking about punishment here. Ela ke'esh ocheledhu, it's consequence. You know, if you put, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, you put your, you know, there's a fire in your house. You know, like, you know, one of the candles, I'm sure it's happened by us a number of times, I'm sure it's happened in other families where, you know, a candle may fall and there's a napkin there and it catches fire. So it's not like a major fire, but it's enough that you have to, what? Have to deal with it. So if your knee-jerk reaction is, oh, there's a candle on fire, a napkin on fire, boom, let me put it out. So, what's going to happen? Well, we know what's going to happen. The fire may be put out, but your hand's going to get burned, right? Now, you're very good intentions. You're putting out a fire. Great. But the result is that your hand's going to get burned. Anyone who's going to deal, and you see this by Chana Penina, right? Anyone who's going to deal with Ben Adam Chaveiro, you have to realize how careful you have to be because there are consequences to what you say. V'chein zoi achovah v'zoi eitzah litbonein b'terem amirat kol davar. Therefore, says the Daniel in the Arrow 19, how careful we have to be before we say anything, especially a yasom and amana. But this is also, we should, the kachalim l'yachez gam l'chol adam, we should treat every person like they are a yasom and amana, not technically, but philosophically, psychologically. מחובתו של אדם להעביר כל פנייה ותגובה במבחן ביקורת ולסנן המעשה ודיברו סינון אחר צינון עד שיזך ונוקי. Very much in line what we spoke about last week about hachana, about thinking before you act. Think before you answer someone. You know, you may have that great one-liner response, but it really may make a person feel bad. Or, you know, your knee-jerk reaction is, but is that what they need to hear right now? A person is down, put them down even further? These are the things that we have to, the sensitivities that we have to have. And the amount of sensitivity we need to have is just mind-boggling. And, you know, this is the world we have to live in. We have to live in a world of thinking and then rethinking again. You know, it reminds me, many years ago, I don't know, 6, 7 years ago, I was giving a shiur in Mafei Chemish, and my kids were with me. And I remember that I had given an example of a wedding example of about how special a wedding is and that feeling of, you know, yichud with being alone, etc., with Hashem, with Chasam Kala. And I remember my older daughter, who at the time was not more than 10, 11 years old, said to me as we were walking home, "Ima, I'm surprised at you that you gave that example." I said, "What do you mean? What was wrong with the example?" She said, "Ima, didn't you see in the back was sitting a woman who just recently became an almana, just recently became a widow? I would have thought that you would have had more sensitivity," you know, nice way she said this to me, "sensitivity about giving an example like this." Now, obviously, with 100 people in the room, you know, to think about, and I try to, for those who I know, and she was right. But that's like the super sensitivity that you need to have of thinking who's in the room, and that's why when you teach a shiur like this, literally to myself, which is what I'm doing right now, and thank God they have not committed me for talking an hour a week to myself, almost getting used to it, that you don't know who's listening, and you don't know how they're taking it, and you don't know what sensitivity they have, and you don't know what response they're going to have, and you may never know. And it's one of the greatest pachas, one of the greatest fears, and one of the things that I daven for is that to the extent that I am able to, and there's so many times where I'm going to bring up a topic in one of these shiurim, I call up a very good friend and I say, "Tell me how to articulate it. Tell me how to say it." And I work it through 3 or 4 times before it is said with the sensitivity I feel needs to be said. Having said that, who knows? You know, you daven, Hashem svasai tiftach, ufi agit zilatecha, that it shouldn't come to harm any single person. But particularly when we know who we're speaking to, and we know who's sitting in front of us, and we're aware, we have to mamish sift through and think before we speak. Tavadas Rav Sternbach says this also applies in 20. When someone comes to your house for a handout, "Oh, I don't have time for you right now, come back, call me back." They don't have time either. How are you treating them? This is a sensitivity that we need to have. You know, it's funny because while I was preparing the shiur this week, I got a call from one of these solicitators. You know, you have different organizations soliciting you. And I don't think any of us have really the time or the headspace to be listening to the whole spiel, when generally I will not, you know, give to them or give them a very small amount, because we have our sukkah that we give to. And so someone called up this week, mamish, while I was preparing this. And it was like amazing. I had such a change of heart. I listened to her and I say, "Wow, that's an amazing organization. Kol hakavod for what you're doing. You must have such nachas from it." And I went on and on. And like, I think the person was a little bit surprised, even though I didn't really give them a donation, but I was really, you know, making them feel good about what they're doing. Not like just, boom, hang up the phone, "Sorry, I don't have time for you." This is the sensitivity that we need to be able to have. And this, Rav Pinkus develops even more. He says, "B'noheg Shiva Olam, source 21, in Tiferet Shimshon, that we're very careful about the feelings of an Adam Gadol Mechubad," right, a very important person, we don't want to make them feel bad. "A Rav Gadol, an Ashir, somebody who's very rich and everyone, you know, treats well, but a simple person, and particularly if it's like, you know, you know, like a really person on a lower level class, or an Ani, or an Amaris, a simpleton, you know, we don't really give them the time of day. And he says, this is totally wrong. And he says, this is pshat in that waiting to tie your sandals or to take a drink in that story of Rabbi Yishmael, where he says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the arrow, V'hainu delav dafka aman of the yosom. It's not only an aman of the yosom, but any person who comes to ask a question of a Rav, at that moment he needs something. At that moment he feels like he's dependent on somebody for their help. And at that moment, their din is ki yosom ba'almana. So you're right. They may not technically, Baruch Hashem, be a yosom and almana. But when you're dependent on somebody, and you're in that position of vulnerability, where you need somebody to answer a question for you, or you need advice from somebody, you need help from somebody, to make them wait, to make them feel bad. In those couple of minutes, they may be thinking to themselves, well, if I were someone rich and important, you wouldn't make me wait. Or, I... what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? Maybe he doesn't really want to speak to me. Maybe he's doing me a favor. All of these thoughts come into a person's head. And that's why he brings here from the Rambam, who writes, and he's Gerard al Harabim Shabbal of Lakesh al Choyam, how he'd be up to all hours of the night in giving medical advice, and how he would, you know, plead with them, plead, I just need to go to something to eat for a couple of minutes, and like beg them for forgiveness for taking of their time. Uman nomar anu, what can we say? Kasher tofsim et hator makol leiz yele katan, when we cut in front of a small child. What does a small child care? You know, this is a very Israeli example because small children are online. I know outside of Israel they're like, ah, small children online, yeah. But in Israel, you know, a four-year-old buying milk is a common everyday occurrence, even younger. Or we ask something from a small child, or that we wouldn't ask from somebody else. It's beneath their dignity, but we figure, what is a kid going to say no to us? This is the sensitivity that we need to have, that you can't be mitzayer, you can't hurt anybody. And as the Gra points out in 22, even if it's for kavanah tovah, even if it's for good intentions, you have to be so careful how you do something in order not to hurt somebody. My friends, this is the yesod for our lives, because if you think about it, this is how we spend our lives. We spend our lives interacting with people. And the sensitivity that we need to have to be able to treat every person with the respect that they deserve. To give one more example of what we're speaking about here, and how Chazal, how our sages understand the enormity of this supersensitivity, is a piece that Rabbi Fran brings in 23. He says, clearly a widow and orphan are likely to feel that they are being taunted or hurt because they are more vulnerable, with no husband and father to protect them. Tears flow easily from widows and orphans, and Hashem, our merciful Father, hears their cries. Same applies, say Chazal, to any person, especially to young and privileged who feel vulnerable. Here's a passage in the Talmud, the Gemara Shabbos, 55a, Nun Hei Amud Aleph, discusses the implication of Chazal's words. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting before Shmuel, and a woman came in crying. Shmuel did not pay attention to her. Shmuel's a Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda is the student. Rebbe, asked Rabbi Yehuda, do you not agree that one who shuts his ear to the cry of the pauper, he too will call out and not be answered? Sharpon replied Shmuel, your master, I, Shmuel, will not be burnt, but your master's master will be burnt. Mar Ukva is the head of the base team, and he was obligated to heed the woman's cry. The Talmud does not tell us who was right. Was Rabbi Yehuda correct in his assessment that Shmuel would be punished for ignoring the woman? Or was Shmuel correct in placing the blame on Mar Ukva as the head of the court? But the Tosfos fills in the blank for us. The Talmud relates elsewhere that Rabbi Yeshua's son, Yosef, once had an out-of-body experience in which he died and went up to heaven. When he came back to life, his father asked him, what did you see? He said, Olam hafuch ra'iti, I saw an upside-down world. Those who are considered prestigious in this world are subservient in the next world. And Tosfos writes that according to tradition passed down from the Gaonim to Rabbi Hananel, what did Yosef see, this little boy, or this son of Rabbi Yeshua? He saw that Shmuel was considered a disciple of Rabbi Yehuda in heaven because of the instance in which he objected to Rabbi Yehuda's handling of the poor woman. For Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi, the Rosh Yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael, finds this process very difficult. The Talmud records more than 500 instances in Rabbi Yehuda quotes Shmuel's teaching. It is obvious that Shmuel was Rabbi Yehuda's master and taught him much of what he knew. How could the situation become reversed because of an isolated incident in which Rabbi Yehuda was correct? It must be, explains Rav Mizrachi, that the one lesson Shmuel learned from Rabbi Yehuda outweighs all the Torah that Shmuel taught him. It is imperative to respond to a person's tears. Looking at Rav Mizrachi, Birkas Mordechai, in the original, 24, he says, Halacha zo shel otem ozno mizakas dal, closing your ears from the screams of a poor one, milamedet yoter mikol haTorah kula. And in Shemayim they weighed and decided that this halacha indeed makes Shmuel the student of Rav Yehuda. And he says here, Zoe emet midata shel midas ben adam l'chaveiro, leo patuach l'gamrei l'salei kol atimut l'akshiv l'chol rachas. You want to know what the greatness of Torah is? You can't deny anybody's cries. You can't shut them out. The Torah Gedola, he wrote. It's the Torah that's bona yishuto shel ben adam l'chaveiro. What we're learning now, he was taught, Shmuel, from Rabbi Yehuda, is that this is the halacha which all of ben adam l'chaveiro between man and fellow man is built on. Ishiyut ha-maskela l'redel nivchein nefashot. It goes down to the depth of a human personality. Hayodah la'aloch b'svach rigashot v'amurmemet atzma arum piskara daigal ben adam l'chaveiro. How careful you have to be in ben adam l'chaveiro. So a friend then asked, Shmuel explained that he did not heed the woman's cries because he was not in a position to do so. Why was he punished? So he quotes here a story in 25. The answer may lie in a story told about the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Many people in DP camps following the Holocaust 25 had a very difficult time coping with the crushing loss of their family and friends. One fellow was so devastated he abandoned his Yiddishkeit altogether. His friends tried to coax him to return to religion, but to no avail. Someone suggested he go speak to the Kloisenberger Rebbe. At first he resisted, but he finally agreed. The man came out of his meeting with the Kloisenberger Rebbe after an hour, a changed man. He domed his yarmulke, began to keep Shabbos once again. His friends were shocked. What could the Rebbe possibly have said in that 1 hour that accomplished more than they had in months? I went to the Rebbe and began to tell him about all the family members that I lost. As I spoke, tears began to stream down my face. The Rebbe turned to me and said, I also lost my family. I had a wife and 11 children before the war. And now, I have no one. With that, he took my hand, held it in his, and began to weep along with me. We sat like that for an hour, weeping unchecked. Finally, I left. I felt that I had gotten all the grief out of me. I felt that someone cared, here's the key, more about me than about my abandonment of Judaism. I felt that I could move on. Perhaps Shmuel was not in a position to do anything. He could not render a verdict in the woman's favor. That was Mar Ukva's role. But he could listen and empathize. When a person comes to cry to us, we often do not have answers for his or her problems. Writing a check will not solve all the problems in the world. We cannot return a widow's husband to her or an orphan's father to him. But we can listen. We can lend them our hearts. And this sensitivity that we need to have to every person, to listen to who they are, to be able to get to the core of what makes them them, is how we have to... How we have to deal with other people. And Rav Mizrachi in Birkas Mordechai in 26 goes on and he says, Umi yodeya efo mihu zehel me befanecha. Do any of us know who's standing in front of us? Shema tashush koachu. Maybe it is somebody who is vulnerable. Mai efo eitza yutza kedei shalol yistabech belav shalot tanun. Klumi tachem listater machare tana shalol yadani lo tarti. Can I hide behind? Well, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Shave b'nafshecha, ma'ita tchushatcha, ilu hitbarer lecha, kizeh shomei b'fanecha, yatomu almanarech manutlan, haitashka yuratcha, margiyoscha. If you found out later that it was a yosom and amana, would that have made you feel better? V'arei kol adam sofik yosom u'sofik amana, shekein lo diber katuv ela behoveh, v'aveirat lav b'shkaga milta zutrahi. You don't know who's standing in front of you. and therefore you have to assume that everyone standing in front of you is somebody who is vulnerable, someone who's in a weakened position. Ilu ayita ma'amiras v'cha b'mkomo shal homei b'fanecha. Ilu ayita charei l'nechuto k'fi shincha nohei b'nechutcha. If you treat somebody with sensitivity, you would like to be treated. If you like to be able to have that awareness when you're speaking to another person. Mishelo samta lev lekach, if you're not aware of this, it's because mashma ein kvod chavircha chaviv alecha kishacha. You really don't care about somebody as much as you care about yourself. And this is the mindset that we need to go into in dealing with all people. You know, in preparing for the shiur, I read about a story of a young American couple who moved to one of these border communities, and Arabs came in and killed her husband and killed the baby that she was pregnant with. And a number of years later, she remarried and she had twins and was playing, you know, with the twins that were playing in the sandbox. And grandfather was there with his grandson in the same park. And the grandson started up in a very, you know, rude way with her twins. So she pulled the grandchild aside in a very, you know, stern way, rebuked them. I mean, okay, maybe she was out of order. And the grandfather turned to her and said, you know, you're such an American, I don't know what word he used, you know, like, you know, like, you know, like, what do you know about life type of thing? And like, this woman has really suffered. I mean, she has, like, scars all over her. She went through, you know, real challenges in life and tormenting. And she, you know, got herself back and apologized to the grandfather, apologized to the kid. But the one who really needed to apologize was the grandfather. We don't know who we're dealing with here. And I've seen this so often, and I'm sure all of us can relate to this, where I have friends who are going through, like, major, major challenges with their children. On the outside, they're looking happy and wonderful, and people will make a remark to them without even knowing what they're saying is just like, ooh, like a knife cutting right through them. Sensitivity. We don't know what people are going through. Think before you say. If you're not sure, then do us all a favor. Don't say it. In that book we've mentioned before, Step by Step, 52 Mitos a Year, different 52 or 50 or so different authors. So Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Rabbi Krohn, brings examples in 27. Consider the following situation at a bar mitzvah. The mother of the boy was not well-to-do and was simply dressed. Her sister overcame dressed as if she was the Queen of England. Imagine how the mother felt. Or listen to the pain of a woman who made Sheva Brachot in her home. An old woman came elegantly dressed, making her feel humiliated because she could not dress the same way. Especially during this time of economic difficulties, it's important to be sensitive to other people's situations, not flaunt or affluence in their faces. If one is able to travel to Israel or Florida, nobody has to know about it. It's not necessary to brag about your trips to Disney World when others can't afford to do the same. We should train our youngsters to be sensitive as well. My daughter told me of two friends who took a test. One received a 98, the other an 80. The girl who received the 98 came over to her friend and said, I'm so stupid. Look at what a silly mistake I made, and because of that I couldn't get 100. Imagine the feelings of the girl whose grade was 80. Or how often does it happen that women are chatting about their babies and sometimes even complaining about them getting up at night, forgetting that one of their number is still childless and would give everything she owns and more just to have their problems. My friends, we don't know who's sitting in front of us. We don't know what issues people are having. So I understand you're sitting there saying to me, please, like, you know, we can't say anything. No, you can say a lot. But know in front of whom you're speaking, have a sensitivity that you really don't know in front of whom you're speaking, and be able to take the cues that you're given and try to talk with a sense of sensitivity and an awareness. And you're right, at times we don't know, but at least we can make the best effort we can to do the best we can. And we know, and this is Rav Reis again in 28, where it says in Kohelet, V'alokim yivakesh et hanirdaf. Hashem is the one who trumps the side of the one who is oppressed. And Hashem is going to stand up for the oppressed. And we have to make sure that we are not the ones who are doing the oppressing. And this is, on the other side, Michla Lava Tashomei Hain. in 29, HaChumash Sheba Mityachesed HaTorah L'mitamer B'chalashim Melamedet K'mi Shedavak B'midotav Shemakom U'mishtadel L'idog L'vavachatam Morer B'mastav Midas HaRachim Shemalo B'garem L'ashvaot Tovo Mimaron B'klal L'prat. Obviously, we have to mention this to be a balanced shear, that if we see what severe consequences are found for one who angers and upsets and hurts, how much goodness and how much mercy is brought into the world of someone who is careful, of someone who defends, of someone who takes up their cause, of someone who's going to be able to go out of their way to help the Yasam and the Amana, or to help the downtrodden, to help the person who is afflicted, try to be able to work through and get out of their situation. These are the people who are really the blessed ones, and these are the people who are bringing tremendous bracha into this world. And indeed, Dinei Yisrael, Rav Belsky, speaks about what is this idea on our second level of what is Charon Af about? What is this anger about? So on the first level, we saw that the Charon Af is about that you're going, you know, against people whom Hashem loves, the people who are found in the Armon Shel Melech, in the palace of the king. How dare you, you know, it's like Kofar Beikar if you don't think that Hashem is going to take up their cause. And the double lashon there is how careful we have to be with even an inui muad, even a small type of inui. And they're going to scream out twice. They're going to scream out for the affliction, and they're going to scream out for remembering the situation that has put them to be such a sensitive person. On the second level, where we're not only talking about a specific yosam and almana, we're talking about all people in general. What is this Charon Af about? So the Ene Yisrael prefaces this by talking about what is Charon Af versus Chema in general. He says, Af, is source 30, is literally a nose, which is a metaphor for the physical expression of anger. Hashem's anger shall smoke. The body heats up through anger, and the steam is released from the nose. Rashi and Shmuel says it this way. It is the nature one becomes angry that steam is released from its nostrils. This is the meaning of all phrases of Charon Af, of burning anger, for the nose flares hot vapor. When anger is called Af, it refers to anger that is extremely visible. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Gemara Tzvachim, says all expressions of burning anger in the Torah are accompanied by a consequence. That is, the anger is expressed and results in some form of punishment. In contrast, Chema refers to anger that remains unexpressed. One of the clearest demonstration of this is Vayimaleh Haman Amordechai Chema, Vayitapak Haman. He doesn't respond. We see from here that Chema represents the attribute of Midas Adin, of judgment, while Af represents the carrying out of Midas Adin through punishment. It's possible to hold back the attribute of judgment in the same way the internal Chema may be held back from being outwardly expressed as Af. This refraining from expressing judgment is known as Erech Apayim, which means that the Af is lengthened or delayed, and the anger is not expressed. Rashi says that Erech Apayim is likened to a man who lengthens his breath to the point there's no Af, thus dissipating the anger. Indeed, the best way to control one's temper is by taking a deep breath. One of the ways to offset this anger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu from being able to be manifested in this world is giving tzedakah. We know the idea of tzedakah tatzil mimavet. Tzedakah saves one from death. It saves one from the consequence of sin that is brought about by judgment. Why? So we know that a person who does tzedakah has brought immense goodness and sweetness to the world and to the lives of others on account of tzedakah he has given. His actions bring happiness to people and reduces the suffering in the world. And therefore, you have to understand this idea that there could be a Charon Af in the world, there could be anger. But when a person gives tzedakah, then a person brings a tremendous amount of goodness and happiness in the world, and that has the ability to offset this punishment, offset this anger. And with this we can understand, says Rav Belsky, there's an idea, Machusa de'ara ke Machusa de'rakia. The court down below is similar to the court in heaven, or vice versa, which means that if down here somebody comes to the court with a complaint, right, and they say, I want to bring so-and-so to judgment, then there's an inui adin if you don't do it right away. You have to immediately take the case. This same thing is true of the bracket in 32, if there's a toveya. If a claim is made, then the judgment must be carried out. There may be And that's why when a person calls out to Hashem, if someone should raise his voice, double underline the arrow in 32, his voice to heaven and demand that the judgment be carried out, then the heavenly court is bound to take up the case so as not to cause inui hadin. So now we understand why if a person screams out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take up this case right away. And when he sees that a person hasn't been treating the Siyasim and Amana appropriately, it doesn't, you know, usually it stops first in the Beis Din down here and then goes to the Beis Din in Shemayim. If this is going to go straight up to the Beis Din Shemayim, that person's going to cry out to Hashem. Hashem is going to say, I have no other option but to bring Din, to bring justice on this person. And that's why when a person afflicts a Yosom and Almana and it goes straight up to Shemayim, the result is immediately anger. How could this person do this? And that is why a person has to be very careful about starting up with a Yosom and Almana, because it goes straight up to Shemayim, and there's a Charonav, there's an anger. The din has to be taken care of. But this could also occur to the benefit of a person. Sometimes a person does a kindness, and the beneficiary understands the goodness done to him, and he calls out, Ribbono Shalom, so-and-so returned my night clothes, so-and-so has helped me, so-and-so has done wonderful things to me. In this way, you bring a person goodness down from heaven. So while we have the ability to bring pain down, we also have the ability to bring down goodness as well, which leads us on this level. The Charon Av is almost the immediate response that Tovei HaDin, Hashem, is going to immediately take up the cause of these people. It helps explain the double language in a very, very troubling Sof Sofer. I'm going to mention it. There's a lot of Torah on this, but I'm not going to go into it. I want us to be troubled by this. Says the Sof Sofer, why is there a double lashon? He says, we know ki kol mi shechaveiro 34 asterisks na nashayoto gam hu na nashacharka. If you cause a person pain, so as we saw, you're held responsible. Remember the fire? So if somebody is going to get punished because of you, so they may have done something wrong that they deserve to get punished because of what they did to you. But your response of calling out the way you did and demanding justice on them also has a liability on you because now you've hurt another person. And that is why that we have the double lashon. Not only will the person get hurt, but the almana and the yosom are also held accountable on some level, whatever level that may be, that a person has been affected by them. And that's why, I'm very complicated here, but that's why we have to have the super sensitivity that when we are hurt, to try to judge the person. We've been speaking about how careful you have to be not to hurt somebody. Now, we who may be hurt, we have to judge people like Kaslut. We have to try to give people the benefit of the doubt. We have to try to bring goodness on the person. We have an obligation. You're right, they shouldn't have hurt us. You're right, they shouldn't have said this. But that doesn't get us off the hook. Us being the one who is the recipient of this, we have to try to be dan nem l'kaschut. We have to try to see the goodness in this. We have to try to see what the message, the blessing in this, so that our response shouldn't bring about a punishment for another person. And that is the complexity of Yiddishkeit as well as the beauty of Yiddishkeit, how we all have to be sensitive, even though you're right, they had no right to hurt you, you're right, and you're wrong. I mean, you are right, but you have to also try to have a sensitivity to the one who hurt you. You don't know what's happened to them in their life. You don't know what you sparked in them. You don't know what's going on in them. That maybe, you know, your state is what is affecting them and mirroring them and who knows what. And that's how we have to see the larger picture here. So my friends, what we've seen so far, it's the first two levels. It's a Yosef and Almana. Literally, it's going to it's God's children. It's a Yosom and Almana means all types of people. You're going to bring a din down in this world, so you have to be very careful. Our super sensitivity of how we have to deal with all people, particularly a Yosom and Almana. But my friends, in the 5 minutes that we have left, I'd like to flip this on its head. And that is an idea. We'll begin with the Tiferet Shimshon, Rav Pinkus 35. He says, we learn a Yosod in Tefillah from our Pasuk. It says we know generally that if a person goes to somebody for a handout, they need money. So the person who is, you know, the usher, the rich person, what do they feel? Like, you know, I'll give them $100, someone else will give them $100, someone else will give them $100, and eventually they'll get the money that they need. No one feels like, you know, I'm going to make it or break it. But if a person comes to a, and they're fine sending them off, but if a poor person came to this rich person and said, let me tell you, I have absolutely nowhere else to go. You're the only person who I can tell my situation to. I'm totally embarrassed. You know, people think I'm very wealthy and I've really gone broke, and you are the only one who can bail me out. That's a whole different story. Then this person feels like, oh my gosh, if I don't help them, no one else is going to help them. I better help them. He said the same thing is true by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What normally happens, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, you know, Hashem, I need a refuah. And I turn to a doctor and I say, I need a healing. And I turn to the medicine and I say, I need a healing. It's like going to many different people to get $100. But if I turn to Hashem and say, you know what, there is nobody else who can heal me but you. Right? Obviously, you have to go to doctors, you have to take medicine, but your mindset is, these are what I have to do, God. But I don't really put credence in them, I put credence in you. Then it's as if you're going to this person saying, I have no one else to turn to but you. 36, Zohi tefillah shel niful, shenofel kol kulo lefanav yitbarach bihitpadlut gemura. Here you're falling kol kulo to Hashem. Kol yeshuati rak mincha yitbarach, ve'en acher yachol lo sheni. No one else can save me. It's like Esther who's pleading in front of the king because he's the only one who can nullify the decree. And now I understand the difference of the double lashon. Okitzah, twice. Why? Because generally when we call out to God once and we don't get an immediate response, so then we go here, we go there, we go to many different places. But a Yosom and Almana, Sa'okitzat, they have nowhere else to turn. So if Hashem doesn't answer them once, they're going to go back to Hashem. Sa'okim v'chalzeret Sa'okim. And Hashem's going to have to answer them because there's no one else to answer them. V'kein kol echa v'echa chiyasa atzmo ka'mano v'kayosom. And we have to, on this level, turn ourselves into a Yosom and Almana to be able to daven in a way, Tzoek v'chozer v'tzoek, Hashem, I have no one else to turn to. And then Ein Sofek, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer our tefillah. So here, when we're talking about the sensitivity of a Yosom and Almana and how the Yosom and Almana have no one to turn to but Hashem, let's flip it around. That to a certain degree, we have to learn from the Yosom and Almana that our relationship with Hashem should be like we have no one else to turn to Hashem. Learn from the Yosom and Almana to only turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this, in a very beautiful essay, the Matnat Chaim, develops this further. And he says, the Medrash says on the Pasuk, Yosomim hayinu vein av, in Eicha, we are like orphans and we have no father. The Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you cried out and said, you have nobody to turn to but me, Chayechem, I swear that I will give you a leader to help you who is a Yosom, or Yosoma, Esther, who doesn't have a father and a mother. What's going on here? So he explains this idea that when you feel like you're a Yosom, you realize that you have no recourse but God. In fact, the Medrash says that on the Kapitul Kaf Beis of Tehillim, of Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Zavtani, that Esther Malka said as she's walking through the palace, she turns to Hashem and says, I don't have a father, I don't have a mother, I only have you, Hashem, to turn to. And that is why Hashem listened to her voice. And this, in fact, is Harem of Uarmi Dvarah Malatam Shalelu Sheim Lam Avaim, the arrow in 38, Ki krovim hein li vasham b'tfilatam. They are more easily answered. And that this is the secret of our geula. The secret of our redemption is to be put ourselves in a state that we have nobody to turn to but a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, this is what the Navi Hosea says in Source 14, Kapitel Yodalit. Asher lo yishenu asus lo nukav lo namar lo elahinu l'masei yadenu asher b'chai yirucham yaso. That this is the idea of where we say, no one else is going to help us. We're not going to go to foreign powers. We're not going to go to foreign leaders. We're not going to go to the gods we created with our own hands. We have no one else to turn to but you, Hashem. Asher b'chai yirucham yatom. Abaye, right, given that name. We have no one to turn to but you. Abaye was an orphan. And then Hashem says, you're right, Hishavapi Mimenu, Alven Dava, I'll love you freely. That has to be the Gemara. The Mishnah Sota speaks about this. When will the Geula come? When we realize Ein Ami Yeshlanu Lishain Ela Alavinu Mishma Shemayim. When we realize we have nobody to turn to, but Kadosh Baruch Hu Bichvoto Ba'atzmo. So we have to learn from our pasuk that at Yosom and Almano Saok Yitzak, they scream out to Hashem and they realize that there's no one else, and they'll constantly cry out to Hashem because I have no other recourse, I have no other place to turn. That has to be a model for each and every one of us. You want Yeshua, you want salvation, enter into the mindset of a Yosom and Almano and realize that there's nowhere else to turn but to Kadosh Baruch Hu Bichvoto Ba'atzmo. When we realize this, that we have no other where to turn, then Hashem becomes the Avi Yosomim and responds in kind. But it goes even further than that. Rav Masechiyahu speaks about in 41, we did this many years ago, the Tomer Devorah of Hashem Silcha, the way the asterisk of 41, the way we behave down here, opens up a corresponding opening in Shemayim. And that is why it's not enough that we feel like Yosomim. We have to also act like the Avi Yosomim. When we have mercy on orphans, that opens and stimulates in Shemayim that Hashem should have mercy on us. And that's why we don't only have Esther in the Esther story. We have Mordechai. Vahi omeinen Hadassah, he took care of Hadassah. He took care of Esther. And in fact, the Targum Sheni says that Mordechai, who went into Galus, went back to Eretz Yisrael, and then went back into Galus, into exile, of his own volition. And he says, it's better to take care of this girl who has nobody to take care of than live in Eretz Yisrael. The moment that Mordechai becomes the Avi Yosomim, he takes care of the orphan, he stimulates and opens in Shemayim that Hashem should also be the Avi Yosomim, the father of orphans, and take care of us. And hence, says the Manachayim of Matzirah Salom and Shlita in 42, that this is why on Purim, right, Rosh Chodesh Adar is around, Parsha Mishpatim, and this year is an Ibra year, a leap year, but on Purim, we should focus in on Matanos Lavyoni more than Mishloch Manos and Suda, etc. Why? So shouldn't we be giving gifts at all times? Why is Purim the time of Matanos Lavyoni? This is the reason. One of the reasons. Because Matanos Lavyonim allows us to give gifts to the poor to be in that role of Mordechai, of taking care of the orphan, of the widow, of the needy. And when we take on that role of taking care of those who need Tomer Devorah, Hashem Silcha, then Hashem opens up that pathway and Hashem takes care of us for what we need and for our destitute situation. And that is why Purim is the height of the Geula, of the redemption. This is the key of the redemption. There are two keys. One, realize we have nowhere to turn but a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of the idea of Sheker Asustu Chua and Ein Hashem El Yirayav L'Mechalim L'Chasto, that we feel like this Yosef, like Esther, Hashem, we have nowhere to turn but you. That's one level. And the second level is that we act in a way of Avi Yosomim to be able to bring down that koach of the Avi Yosomim. And that's why, just to end, Rabbi Sinfeldbrand in her Sefer Amitos brings us two very beautiful ideas. When a person, 46, comes upon a copper penny in the market, he will bend down to pick it up. But when dealing with others, he raises his head aloft and refuses to lower himself even a centimeter. Sugar, which dissolves and vanishes in water, sweetens. Only thus can one sweeten another person's life by constricting the ego and restricting its function. My friends, the bracha I leave to all of us is that we should be zocha, to be have the sensitivity of the yosom and the almanos in our lives, that we should be able to be super sensitive to them. We should be able to be super sensitive to all people. Whoever we meet, we do not know what's going on in a person's life at any given time. Err on the side of caution. But having said all of this, my friends, recognize that the negative midah has a flip side. The more we are careful, and the more we treat, and we help, and we're sensitive, the more tremendous bracha we bring down in this world. And we have to a certain degree, learn from the Yosom and Almana how to scream out to Hashem. We also have to learn how to take care of them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come and take care of us as well. And when we realize this reality of Ein Ami L'Shein, we have no one to rely on, Elav Yishma Shemayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo Ba'atzmo, that Hashem indeed will come down and hear our cries and respond to our tefillos and create and be able to give us a geula, redemption, both on a personal as well as on a national level.